Okay, so we're going to read this discussion that Reuven and Gad have with Moshe to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And as we read it, I want you to think about the following question. What does Reuven and Gad really have in mind? And does Moshe misunderstand them or not? Okay, so we'll just read it. And there are a lot of psukim here. So we'll go through it quickly. Umiknei Rav, how you live in a Reuven, live in a God. Atzum Od. So Reuven got a lot of cattle. Vayuras Eretz Yazer, Vayuras Eretz Gilad, Vayuras Eretz Gilad, Makom Mikne. And they saw that the land of Yazer, the land of Gilad, this land that was the eastern side of the Jordan River, had a lot of cattle. So they had a lot of cattle, and this was a place for, I guess it was good real estate for farming or for cattle, for grazing. So the people of God and Reuven, they come to Moshe and Elazar and to the princes of the congregation saying, Sorry, I forgot it. Bring my reading glasses. Okay, so they list a whole. It's okay. They list a whole bunch of cities. Harat Asher Hika Hashem Lifnei Adas Yisrael Eretz Miknehi. The land that Hashem smote before the congregation of Israel is a land of, I guess, for cattle. V'lavadecha Mikneh, and just so happens your servants have cattle. Hashkacha Pratis Basheret. They're very spiritual, right? The land that Hashem smote. So it's very spiritual. So Vayomru, okay, if it pleases, if we find favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as an lasting inheritance. Al Tavirenu Asi Yarden, don't let us pass, or don't let us cross the Jordan River. Okay? So that's what they said. Vayomru Moshe Livnei Gav Lev Ruvain. And Moshe turns to Bnei Gavir and he says, "Ha'achechem yavol l'mechava atem tishupo. Will your brothers go to battle and you will stay here?" V'lama tiniyu neslei Bnei Yisrael me'avor el haaretz she'natzan lahem Hashem. Why do you weaken the heart of Bnei Yisrael from crossing to the land that Hashem gave you? This is what your forefathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Bnei to see the land. And they went up to Nachal Eshkol v'yiruas es haaretz, and they saw the land v'yiruas slave Bnei Yisrael, and they weakened the heart of Bnei Yisrael. Avilti bo el haaretz shenu asan l'hem Hashem. So they don't come to the land. So they didn't come to the land that Hashem gave them. V'yicharaf Hashem v'yomahu. Right? They didn't want to go to the land that Hashem gave them. And Hashem got angry at that day, saying, and he swore, saying, God forbid, God saying, definitely that the people who ascend from Egypt from 20 years and up, they're definitely not going to see the land that I promised Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because they didn't follow me. Built Kol Binyifuru Akniti V'Shul Bin Nun Kimalu Achrei Hashem. Except for Kol Binyishua. V'Yicharaf Hashem Yisrael V'Neim B'Midbar Abim Shara. Hashem got angry for the Jewish at the Jewish people, and he made them stray in the desert for 40 years. Atom Kol Adora Oseh Rabbein Hashem, until the whole generation was completed, until they were Tom, they were finished. That did evil in the eyes of God. Now Moshe turns to Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Now you've basically risen instead of your forefathers, basically, to add people who are sinners, to add to the anger of Hashem, to the Jewish people. Because you return from behind them, I guess from after them, and Hashem will. And if you leave them in the desert, if you continue to just stay in the desert, then you'll be destructive to this entire nation. So basically, Moshe is not too happy with them. So then, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayikshu Elav Yomru, and they came close to Moshe, and they said, Gidros Ton Yivneh L'Mikneinu Po V'Arim L'Tapeinu. Let us build fences for our sheep and here, and cities for our young kids. Im ha vionum el mikomam viyashav tapena ba'ariyam mivtzar v'pnei yoshvi aretz. We will go armed before the Bnei Israel, right? Until we return back to the place, until we're done, right? Till we come to their place. Because we bring the rest of Israel to their place, and our children will stay in their fortress cities because of the people of the land. We're not going to return back to our homes until Bnei Israel inherit their land. We're not going to inherit with them, right? Because we're going to be from the other side of the Jordan River, because we're going to be on the eastern side of the Jordan River. So let me ask you a question. Let's stop right here now. Did Moshe misunderstand them, or did they change tactics?
I don't know. I'm not sure Moshe gave them an opportunity to explain everything.
So you think Moshe misunderstood them?
I don't know. I mean, they said what they said, but they certainly didn't make it clear that that's what they would do from the get-go, and they came back with that after the diatribe. I mean, this is a lengthy diatribe. He just ripped them.
Right. So in other words, the question is, initially, were they planning on helping their brothers fight or not?
They literally say,
I'll
tabiranu.
Right. So we shouldn't
cross. So I'll means, so I think there are two possible definitions of this. It either means what? You're saying it means none of us want to cross, which would seem to indicate that was their initial plan. Or maybe what else could it
mean? When you first translated, you said, don't make us cross.
Who's us? You mean all of us? So we generally think. So you're saying Moshe didn't let them finish, but you're bringing out.
Well, I'm not sure.
You're not sure. And Al Tavir in your SER date seems to indicate that they initially didn't. They want to stop here, and Moshe, and were they afraid of crossing the Jordan River?
It was based on what's better for the cattle.
Right now, it doesn't seem. And so Moshe's criticism is what?
How would be perceived?
They're how we perceive, right? And there's Moshe's criticism in saying, it's not like they're coming, it's like Moshe is saying, you're just like your ancestors, when they're not really like their ancestors, because their ancestors' intent was, the spies' intent was, we're too afraid. Here, Moshe is saying, you're going to weaken their resolve, even if that's not your intent, because how it's going to be perceived, right? So the truth is, let's read how some of Farshim. There are different ways to read this, by the way. If you read, so after they clarify their intent, like we'll send the adult males, I guess, to fight, and the kids will stay behind. So then, you know, what would you expect Moshe then to respond? Like let's say that was originally their intent. What would you expect Moshe to say? Maybe. I didn't realize, right? So Moshe then says, in Pasuk Chav, he's Vayomer Aleihem Moshe says to them, Im Tasun Sadavar Zeh, Im Telchud Lefnei Hashem L'Melchama. If you do this, if you wage war, Vavra Lachem Kochlus Yarden Lefnei Hashem Adarisho Es Oivav Mipanav, and all those who are armed should cross the Jordan River until they defeat the enemies. V'Dichvishar Lefnei Hashem V'At Achar Toshivu, and then we conquer the land. And afterwards, you return. V'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael. Okay, then you're good. So Moshe, and then they say, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, and then they agree. And then Moshe makes them. What's interesting is that Moshe then, at the end of the parak, after they agree, he commands them in front of everyone to say that, so that they all know this is the plan, not to weaken the resolve of the people. So Moshe doesn't say, oh, I didn't realize. So I wonder how that comes into play. So let's see how some of the Mefarshim read this. So the Ramban basically says, Vayavo b'nei go b'nei Ruvain, hikti makasuv b'nei Ruvain b'pasuk harishon. So he says, so right, they switch the order. In Pasuk Aleph, who goes first? Or who do we mention first? Bnei Reuven and then Bnei Gad. And who comes in Pasuk Beis? Bnei Gad and then Bnei Reuven. So he says in Pasuk Aleph, we mentioned Bnei Reuven first. Why? Mikra Rahu Yelah Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad, Kemishpat, Kiwa Bachor. That's because he's the oldest. He's Ben Agvira. He's the oldest. V'chein Kishisapir Kosev Amai says, hey, Yomar. And when he tells over the story in Parsha Devarim, he says, V'la Reuveni V'la Gad Nesati. I gave it to Reuven and Gad. I will call a parsha azu yati b'nei God. But in this parsha, God is first, but they're talking. Came nasnu aitza azos, because they're the ones who give the advice. Vehemayu medabim tchila Moshe b'nachas azos, because they are the first ones who are speaking to Moshe. Vehemayu gibor miyosim b'nei Ruvein. They're the strong ones. And they bring psukim. Ulvich lo yireim l'ashev s'vadah b'aretz azot b'nei yoshvei aretz. So they're not afraid to settle in this land. It's interesting. Because at this point, where are you most afraid to settle? I'm just saying, it's interesting. Like, they just wiped out the eastern side of the Jordan River, but they're still alone. So it's still a little risky, even though you have to conquer the western side of the Jordan River. But all the tribes are going to be there. So here, they're willing to venture out and stay in the eastern side, and Bnei Gad is the strongest. V'nei Moshe chashadosa. Moshe was suspected them. Ki yomru kein mipachad anshei Eretz Kanaan. So he thought that they were afraid. Because he's like the spies. Moshe has like, it triggers, bad memories. PTSD, right? And he says, you're not on faith in God. He punished them by leaving them in the desert. Therefore, they answered him, God forbid that we're afraid. So the Rabban says, like, they Moshe misunderstood them. God forbid that we're afraid. In other words, there's the question, how do you read the story? Do you read the story as this, like, elderly individual who thinks that the new generation is like the old generation, he's always triggered? Or does he have a point? So the Rabban thinks that it's triggering him. And it was a mistake. Or Moshe didn't understand them. Maybe they weren't being clear enough. But Moshe, because here he's saying, right away they say, Chalila. And then the Barbadel says similarly, and he says he says very clear, they were afraid from the words of Moshe, right? Because Moshe ripped into them. And Varatsu Lomar, lo, and they wanted to say to him, Shechutz b'malas ha-Torah, so lo hevin kavanaso. He says, Moshe, I know you're very holy, but you didn't understand what we're saying. Kehem bamram al tavireinu se'yarden. Oh, so Moshe was picking on that language that you're picking on here. When they said al tavireinu se'yarden, lo kivnu shelo yelchu shem ma'acheyam. They didn't intend that they would go there with their brothers. Ele inyan ha-yerusha amru kein shli aviram shemalin snachem aretz. Okay. Okay, you're not buying it. Okay, I'm saying that's the way the Barbara says. This Alta Radio means we don't want to settle the land. In other words, the fact that they respond so quickly to Moshe, was it like, okay, we got to negotiate, we're coming back, and or do they like, don't even misunderstood us, right? And because of his honor, they drew close to him. No, Moshe, you don't understand. He said, you didn't understand our words, but kavanaseinu and our intent, v'zeh amru v'yigshu elav, they came close. And he said, kfar prashu v'derech ozev, v'yigash elav Yehuda b'imkomo, same idea, v'yigash, coming close, you don't understand. V'nei, v'yayin yan kan shamru lo, ein enach derotzim l'shev po, v'yata, we don't want to stay here now. Aval gidros tzon nivne lemiknenu po v'rim l'tapenu. Okay, we just want to leave for, cattle here and young kids here. V'nachne yelchetz chushim, we're going to go armed. But tomorrow, nizdarez meher, we're going to be mizdarez, we're going to be alert, we're going to be zealous to go quickly. Ki chushim hu memarim, v'lashen meira. Chushim is we're going to go quick. V'chivu atzmam and the other ones. Shalosh shuvah beisam. We're not returning home. Ad sheichlu lichvos yisaretz until we are done conquering the land. Kula. V'zehu ad asher im havi onum elam makom. That's what it means until they bring us to their place. And that's what it means until we come back to conquer the land. Till we bring us to their place. V'gav ad sheyachlu atzaret, until we sell the land. Okay. So, you know, that's what he wants. V'gav, yeah, I'm skipping a few words. And this is Toel's Rav Yisrael. This is actually very good. Because shim lo yishar ruven v'gav me'ever yardin serch li tachel ba'aretz v'yikser hamatza mi'yistara. That, by the way, if we don't stay in the eastern side of the Jordan River, so you can have less land on the western side of the Jordan River. And amnam bios achuza me'eretz yardin lo yinchel be'eretz kanan. We're actually giving you more land. So both the Abravadel and Ramban are saying that maybe because they respond so quickly that Moshe misunderstood them. However, that Kedesia sucks. It's not like that. Amnam hanira bazeki Moshe adonino lov hashalom ba'otzim chachmaso. Amar al emus kavanasa. Moshe knew what they were really saying. Ki mitchila lo hayadatam la'avor imoham mechala. He reads it like you read it, Eric. We don't want to cross. They didn't respond right away. They drew close. They felt bad. So the Akedas Yitzchak, you know, they were really, really, the question is, you know, was this simply a different generation? Or, you know, they also weren't so good. Again, they didn't. It's not like they were afraid, but there are more financial opportunities in Chutz La'aretz, right? In other words, are people afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael because it's dangerous there, or because there aren't there are better economic opportunities outside Eretz Yisrael, right? So the previous generation is because too dangerous. This generation, some people, Reuven and Gad, is better economic opportunities outside Eretz Yisrael, and it may hinge on that phrase. What's altavirin mizeh? It seems the central issue is there's a lot of cattle. And the truth is, like, you read Pasuk Gimel, you go back and look at Pasuk Gimel. It's very strange, right? The Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven come to Moshe and they list a whole bunch of cities. Like, if their plan was, okay, we want to, you know, Moshe, we have a lot of cattle here. We want to stay here. We want to fight. You know, we want to fight. Go to Eretz Yisrael. If they were totally comfortable with this, then why are they saying like all these cities? It's a little strange. It seems like the tribes are like beating around the bush a little bit, and they're sort of hinting at what they want. You know, they have a lot of cattle. They come to Moshe and they list a whole bunch of cities. Wow, these are cities that God conquered, and they have a lot of cattle. And I said there's a lot. There's land that's it's great for grazing, and we have a lot of cattle. And they don't ask what they want. And if you notice, how does Pasuk Hei start? Vayomru imatzanuchein. And they said, now, what Pasuk Bey says, Vayomru Moshe, they said. So Pasuk Bey's, and then Pasuk Hei. So they said, and then they said. They're still speaking. When the Torah says, whenever you read in Tanakh, says, and this person said, right, and Reuven said to Shimon, right, blah, 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 and then you read a few psukim later, and Reuven said to Shimon, without saying that Shimon said first, so why does it say Vayomru again? Why do you think it says Vayomru again? Like, in other words,
they just wanted to keep making a case without hearing the other side,
or you say that so they want, or maybe it's, they said, and then what happened? And they're waiting.
Silent treatment.
No, I think that's right. In other words, they said, told Moshe, by the way, they got these 9 awesome cities that God conquered. This is God's doing. Hashkoch HaProtis. Lot of fertile land. Great land for cattle. We have a lot of cattle. Yeah, Moshe's like, and they're waiting. And Moshe says, nothing. So it seems that it's maybe that's why they're saying, like, you know, you don't need us. Maybe
it was like a plan A and a plan B, like plan A. Was
maybe
like, and then plan B,
right? According to Kaisi, talk this plan B.
Too,
yeah,
we'll
yeah. Look at the Malbim. Turn the page back. Look at the Malbim. Right, the Malbim says, "Vayavo va'achar kein istamu leiv lechol arts." Right, Oh my gosh, all this, you know, you said the land west of Jordan is land of milk and honey. But you know what? The land east of the Jordan is also a great land. Kisha Mira, Deshan, Vishamein, Va'al, Pisa, Amru, El Motel, he said to Moshe, all these cities are Asher Hika, Rotelamar, Achar, Shem Hika, Sa'orat, Sazel, Dufnei, Bnei Israel. What did Hashem do? Hashem smote this land in front of Bnei Israel, Bevadai, Rotelan, Chila, El Shifte Israel. Why did Hashem see to it that we conquered Eretz Yisrael? If Hashem didn't want us to capture this land, what would Hashem done instead? Think about this. We waged war and God saw to it that we smote and we totally wiped out all the inhabitants of the land east of the Jordan River.
Because you could have them just pass through.
Exactly. So says the Malbim, Rotz Lomar, Achar Shehika, right, say Milokain, Loma Horisha, Joshua Arth Misham. Why does Shem drive out the other nations from there? Hashem could have simply had Sichon have them, you know, cross to their borders. And think about it. God planned, right? So God saw to it that we should conquer this land. So probably he's going to give it to us. And now he wants to give. So now we got Eretz Israel and the greater Israel. Right? The greater Israel is not Yehuda and Shomron. The greater Israel is Jordan. The eastern side of the Jordan River. That's the greater Israel, right? Right, the East Bank, right? So Hashem had that plan that we should get it. And now if he's going to give it, depending on who's supposed to get it, well, let's see. This is a land that's really good if you have a lot of cattle, and we have a lot of cattle, right? Shagam she'amachoz shabo yikach ha'shevet etzchakoh ha'yapi ha'goral, even though it's based on the lottery, choz ha'achar she'goral ha'yapi ha'shev bevadai Hashem gives, even though everything's through lottery, but Hashem gives the land that's good for that particular tribe. That since it's a land of cattle and we have cattle, so it makes sense that we should take this land. And the truth is, once Reuven and Gad decide to go with the rest of the tribes, it's not a problem anymore. Because Moshe says, look at the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, Perish, Milvada Tainas Od, Kovel Ani Aleichem, Lamentinus Le, Moshe said, why are you weakening the heart of the people? Perish, Luyye She'ein Kavanaschem, Ela Litamim Hamorim V'Divachem. Fine, maybe your rationale makes a lot of sense. In Kol Yeshma Komla Rotzelach Sho, Shatanoseichem, Huli Yirat Amaretz. Even if you have good intentions, right, you're still going to weaken the people's resolve, right? So at the end of the day, Moshe still makes them, he makes them make a condition, make a tanai. We learned the halachos of tanai, of condition that be double. If I do to make a valid tanai, valid condition in Jewish law, in contract law, you have to say if I do this, then this will happen. If I don't do this, then this won't happen. So we learn it from Bnei Gad Meiru. Moshe makes them issue a tanai condition. So you kind of wonder, like, does he really trust them, or he's not 100%? So maybe the response of the Abravadel and Ramban is that they still wanted to be respectful to Moshe. They didn't want to tell him outright that he misunderstood them. In other words, when they v'yikshoy love, they want to be nice to him. But Moshe never says, I'm sorry for mistrusting you. He's still not sure. In other words, Moshe was correct, maybe. At least according to Keres Yitzchak. But what's very clear, though, is that the new generation does not want to be associated with the old generation. So they quickly change their plan. So it's not perfect, but we see it's obviously very different. I just want to make that, and I think the key point is the following. So I think there are two ways to read the story. You know, you have the Ramban and Barbanel, which is, you know, Moshe misunderstood them, they're being nice to Moshe. And Keres Yitzchak is that they initially did not want to go in. But even according to Keres Yitzchak, it's still another generation. Even if they made a mistake, that they cared more about their cattle, the living inside Eretz Yisrael, they're still different than the prior generation. They're willing to help when called upon, and Moshe is satisfied that this is sufficient for the new generation. I just want to conclude with the following point, and that is that Chazal are not so excited, at least some members of Chazal, are not so excited with what B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven did. In other words, the question is, even if it's true that they had cattle and it made sense, but still, do you give up living with your brethren? Just saying, there's a Midrash in B'nai Rabbah, he says, V'cheira tamotze b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, shayu ashirim. They were wealthy. V'hoyol ha'am mikne gadol. They had a lot of cattle. V'chivu as mamonu. They loved their money. V'yashu lohem chutz me'eretz Yisrael. They lived outside Yisrael. L'ficha gol t'chila mikol shvatim. That's where they were exiled first among all the tribes. So sometimes, you see that Chazal are being critical that, because he quotes the pasuk, that they were... Why were they exiled first? Because they cared more about their possessions. And even if they make a reasonable argument, they're still not living with the rest of B'nai Yisrael, so they're still critical for this. So there's a lot of fascinating ways to read the story. You can read the story as this is Moshe Rabbeinu again being totally out of touch with the new generation. Or, no, they think that Moshe is out of touch. But Moshe at the end of his life says, Listen, even if your intentions are good, you got to be concerned about what the perception is and how things are perceived. You know, that's a very important point. That sometimes, like, people say, well, my intentions are good. And that's not the only factor. It sometimes is, how is what you're going to do be perceived by others? Even if your intentions are good, what will people say, you know, when they think about what you're doing, whatever the case is? Like, this is a good thing. I'm associating with this group of people and I have good intentions, but then people are going to say, you can think of a lot of these possibilities. People always accuse, sometimes people accuse other people, you have bad intentions that you want something. You know, and it's not people a lot of times have good intentions, but the question is, how are things perceived? And Moshe is very sensitive to how things are perceived, and I think that's also important. Not only that the intentions, but how things are perceived by other people. But Baruch Hashem, that the B'nai Reuven, they changed their tune, even if initially they had a plan that wasn't necessarily the best.
Plus, they didn't even go to the other side.